Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Brian Hamilton, who is Head of National Small Business Banking and Digital Platforms for Capital One. Hi, Brian. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Karen.
So, Brian, I thought we'd talk a little small business payments and banking, and I'd really love to get your perspective on a couple of things that I think really represent both pain points and certainly areas of opportunity for those who are thinking about innovation in payments, and particularly as it relates to small business. So let's start first with your perspective on the biggest payments issues that small businesses face, both from the perspective of being paid and paying other businesses.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think those are the categories that small businesses do care about, right? They care about getting paid, I think, first, and they do care about the ease of making payments. I think they have probably not benefited as much from some of the, you know, higher end kind of commercial platforms when it comes to invoicing and integrated payments, both on the payables and receivables side. Although I think that's changing fairly rapidly. There are a lot of, you know, disruptive players in the space. I think there are a lot of newer technologies that help to, you know, kind of help solve the problem for small businesses. Certainly, as we speak with small businesses, and we do and have done recently a lot of research in the space, a big piece of it is the payment itself, but a subtopic there is the integration of the information around the payment. I think that as you talk to small businesses, it's the reconciliation, the double entry to their accounting systems, a lot of the downstream impacts of payment activity, where they don't feel the solutions they've been provided today by their financial institutions or others really take into account the rest of the workflow, the rest of the manual entry, the rest of the, you know, the overhead that a small business is presented with when making payments. So although the speed of the payment is important, I think, and definitely the speed of getting paid is important from a cash flow perspective for almost all small businesses, I actually think some of the other, you know, peripheral integrations around payments, around data, right, is where we hear them tell us they have the biggest pain points. Obviously, anything that helps accelerate being paid is very interesting to them. I think it's interesting to note that a lot of the electronic invoicing services at some of the major financial institutions, which have either been discontinued or have kind of, you know, withered out on a branch as an independent solution, don't really seem to have hit the mark. And I think part of that is because of the lack of data integrations with small business. You know, accounting systems is a great example. And part of it is just the lack of integration with other banking products that they get from their financial services providers. I think there's a big opportunity for us, especially kind of as a more digital financial solutions provider for small business, to put ourselves in their shoes, really feel where those pain points are for the average small business owner. And, you know, the state of technology today, it's not a technical problem, right? These integrations are very possible. If you look at some of the innovations in the space from smaller disruptive players, it's not a technology problem. It's a solving an integration problem, a data problem, an interoperability problem, which I think the small business owner rightly looks to the industry and says, why aren't you solving this for me? So I do think it's a really big opportunity for us as an industry.
So, Brian, I want to go back to something that you said at the very, very beginning, and that is that small businesses really haven't had the opportunity to take advantage of some of the innovations that you just described. Is it because they haven't been made aware that the innovations exist, or the innovations just haven't been available to small business?
I think part of it is probably habit. I think, and this is definitely an opportunity for the banking community, right? I think the natural place to go for some of these things has always been your bank when you think about payments. I think there certainly are other solutions out there that are available, and small businesses are beginning to make use of them more frequently. And that's everything from, you know, more modern kind of digital bill payment and invoicing solutions provided by other players, all the way down to, you know, very specific solutions that they may get, as modules from other providers. I think the habit to go to your bank and expect that to be where you are, you know, provided with payments functionality and the basic financial services functionality has meant that sometimes maybe as a failure as an industry, you don't necessarily see those new innovations from within that bank experience, right? And so the small business is then left to go out and discover them on their own. Certainly there are some examples where some of those players are, you know, actively marketing and collecting that small business activity directly. But I think there's a big opportunity for the financial services industry to embrace some of those disruptive technologies, both, you know, partnering with as well as integrating and embedding some of them into the experiences that we deliver to the small business. And that way they don't have to go hunt for it themselves. And I think that that's part of the frustration there is that, you know, having to go out and self-discover what these innovative technologies are and then figuring out how to make my bank data talk to it or to talk to my accounting system, right? Boy, that's a lot of work for me as a small business owner, and all of the time it took me to self-discover and set up and enroll and begin using and then to integrate the data, that was all time I could have been growing my business, right, or paying attention to my customers. So I think it's out there. I think it's a great opportunity for us as a financial services industry to deliver some of that innovation where they first come looking for it, which is often at their financial institution or through their mobile or web banking experience. And I think we have to rethink what mobile and web banking really means, right? I think I think there's a kind of a watershed moment coming here where that user experience you expect as a small business owner, kind of the default interoperability of all the systems that you use, driven to some extent by the experiences you have as a consumer when you interact with similar services that are slightly less complex. I think that expectation, the groundswell of expectation from a usability, ease of design, ease of integration, is really starting to be felt in the industry.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because, certainly we're all people, regardless of what we happen to be professionally, and small businesses obviously use online banking, mobile banking, increasingly mobile payment, and so probably question why some of the same things aren't available to them on the business side of their lives. But my question, I think, is my next question is really about the degree to which the small business, even if they want to embrace this portfolio of innovation around e-invoicing and data integration, how much power do they have to actually influence how they are paid and how they would like to be paid? I mean, do they actually have the ability to dictate that, or isn't that really the buyer that sort of decides how this whole thing works?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think depending on the size of the buyer, right, which is true in most industries, right, where, you know, a lot of times the influence comes based on the size of the company that you're dealing with. So if they are, you know, obviously, you know, Walmart shows up and happens to be buying from you as a small business, the ability for you to dictate how they pay you and how much they pay is going to be a lot less than if it's another small business, right, or a consumer or somewhere in between. I think that they, as a group, small business have not had the kind of influence that they, you know, probably should have in how they are paid. I think that some of that is because individually they are small businesses and perhaps don't, you know, have as much influence from a kind of commercial revenue perspective when it comes to the product development within financial institutions. But I do think that is changing a little bit. And then I think part of it is just not having access to the systems where they can make that choice, which is, you know, is it easy for me to offer someone that would like to pay me, let's take an electronic invoice, for example, do I want to offer them 3% to pay me by credit card initially, you know, immediately, which is similar to the 3% discount you might take, you know, not unusual kind of net 30 terms or maybe something with a discount between a supplier and a buyer, only you're enabling that and maybe you're covering the cost of the credit card payment. Like, I haven't seen a lot of that really come together in a seamless fashion for a business to where they can just check a box and the person who wants to pay you can then make a choice. I do think you need to have an incentive, right? I mean, obviously, if it's a net discount, right, if you're going to pay earlier. But I don't feel like those solutions have been well integrated to the banking experience. And I don't think that they've been that easy to use for either the sender of the invoice or the payer of the invoice. So certainly an opportunity there for us to empower them through the function of those applications and ease of use of those applications, and also just exposing those models, which I think are, they're out there today, but I don't think they are, you know, ubiquitous by any means among the electronic payment systems that small businesses use.
So Brian, let's talk a little bit about the competitive landscape, because you mentioned that small businesses either haven't been satisfied with the traditional banking portfolio or haven't thought to approach their traditional banker for some of these solutions. But there are lots of third parties and you know, interesting competitors who are coming out and offering these sorts of solutions, payment, invoicing, and the like. Where do you see the most interest in terms of small business wanting to actually solicit or seek solutions to some of these problems? Who's out there offering things like what you just described?
Well, certainly there's, I mean, a number of players in the various verticals that touch, you know, small business in the point of sale space, right? There are names out there that have been disruptive in recent years that are almost ubiquitous now, from like a mobile merchant perspective. I think in the bill payment and invoicing space, it is, you know, it's less of a single set. I think there are interesting companies out there, you know, Bill.com is an interesting one in this space, for example, that are, you know, that is providing kind of integrated payments and receivables, you know, function to small businesses directly. And I think that there are examples of companies like that working with financial institutions to help deliver that in an integrated fashion to their customers. You know, there's a long list of players that are trying to serve, you know, the payment space in general for a small business. But again, payments could mean everything from taking payments at the point of sale to, you know, e-invoicing and billing, like integrated to your financial services platform. So, you know, just taking that example, I think it's up to us as an industry to embrace that disruption and that, you know, those new technical platforms, rather than treat them as necessarily pure threats to be defended against at all costs, because I think that, you know, we need to realize that this is a new kind of more open technical, you know, situation, that the platform, the ecosystem, in order to really create efficiency, the stuff needs to talk to each other, it needs to work together. And I think the closed system where you expect your customer to always come to the bank to do all of these types of things is probably going to be pretty tough to defend going forward, right? So, you know, can talk more specifically about individual players in those spaces if you'd like. I think there's certainly some interesting examples in the bill payment space, point of sale space being a very different vertical, obviously, but I do think there's a lot of opportunity there. I know that's a space that we've looked at as a company and decided that we really needed to embrace some of the newer technology that's happening there, kind of at the point of sale for payments for small business. It doesn't mean that we expect to be the sole provider of all of your point of sale technology necessarily, depending on the size of your business. But when we think about how you do business as a customer, instead of just thinking of the fundamental back-end banking service that we might provide, I think from the customer's perspective, it's more about the commerce, right? It's about everything that goes around the payment, and it's about the data around the payment and the marketing to the customer and everything else. And if you're not part of that technical set of solutions in some way, or you're not providing an open ecosystem that those other third-party solutions plug into, you begin to relegate yourself to a very small subset of kind of core back-end banking services. So mm-hmm. I think there's a set of players there, open players that you look at in the point of sale space, including the peripheral systems like accounting and inventory management and, you know, marketing. Another set of players in the kind of bill pay and invoicing space. And I think in both of those, I think it really behooves us as an industry to kind of open up and figure out how we integrate those solutions from those external players rather than try and defend against them at all costs.
So, Brian, you used two words that I think are really great to describe the environment today, and that's embrace disruption. And you sort of challenge the industry to embrace the disruption that is taking place in the small business payment and banking arena. How is Capital One doing that?
Well, a couple examples. So, you know, we certainly have We've picked up a couple of assets and some great, you know, cultural infusion here recently around some great digital talent, along with the intellectual property and the technical systems that go with it. You know, some news about that recently for us as an industry, from everything from the design, you know, team perspective to our to the technical platforms that we are leveraging. So there's some open, open API-based platforms that we both have built and are beginning to expose to the ecosystem there, and some solutions that are built on top of them that you can actually see in the market today, right? So we have Spark Pay solution, which is an open, you know, mobile point-of-sale solution that plugs into a lot of those value-add services that I mentioned a minute ago. I think as you look at our online banking, our mobile banking experiences, you're going to begin to see from us in the market in a very significant way, you know, user-oriented design. It'll clearly be something different than what, you know, than starting with the online banking that you're familiar with today and just trying to improve it digitally. A lot of that behind the scenes, what isn't always evident, but what enables that is, you know, open, you know, API platforms both inside the bank and outside the bank, integrating to those APIs from those service providers, giving the customer a choice of which, you know, peripheral solutions they want to plug into their core financial services versus kind of dictating only what we build ourselves. So I think there are a number of solutions that are in the market today from us, probably just scratching the surface relative to what you'll see from us in the coming, you know, coming months here. Particularly in the small business space, there's an awesome opportunity for innovation. There's a bit of a window there for us because we haven't traditionally been known as a core small business provider as an institution, but have an amazing brand under the Spark business brand, right? We've got, you know, millions of customers out there today that are interacting with us as a financial institution. But we have this really unique opportunity to kind of start from scratch when we build those experiences, you know, to be mobile first, to be user design oriented, as opposed to starting this bank product on the back end and then trying to digitize it. I'm really just rethinking, if you were to put yourself in the customer's shoes, how would I expect this to work, right, if I just started from scratch? And that's a unique opportunity because we don't have as much legacy infrastructure around the small business stack as a number of banks do. It's also a unique opportunity because we have a dedicated small business sub-brand in the Spark brand, which allows us to kind of identify that set of solutions and really have it have a life and an identity of its own relative to the small business, so they know that if it has that on it, you should expect this experience and interoperability from it. So we really embrace that as a company. I think the small business segment in general is really, really important to us. I think we, you know, people can really relate to that. You know, small businesses are a really important part of the economy. I think people individually can really relate to the small business owner, right? I mean, it's your mom, it's your sister, it's your friend's consulting company. Like, there's a great stat that I like to use that half of Americans either work for or own a small business. And so if you're really going to be impactful in people's lives, right, and people care about their small businesses. So as a financial institution, there's only so many places where you really can have a fundamental impact, like that kind of emotional connection with somebody where you feel like you're doing good. I think small business is one of those areas. I think we benefit from having less legacy infrastructure there. And you'll see from, you know, some of the solutions we have in the market today and some of the stuff that we'll be releasing in the near future, a new approach to that user experience, with a lot of heavy lifting behind the scenes, you know, open platforms and modern technical platforms that aren't always evident, but they should be evident in the user experience when you use them.
It's interesting because as you describe this, I'm thinking of two things. You mentioned that this is going to be a mobile-first experience, so you're minimizing the reliance on bricks and mortar, it sounds like, which I think for busy small businesses that are, you know, time and resource constrained, the ability to have a robust user interface that enables a lot of these things to happen online via whatever device is connected to that online provider, I think is important. And the second is, because small businesses tend to be very resource constrained, as I was listening to you describe the various point solutions that are out there, you know, I'm wondering, how in the world does a small business really decide what makes sense, much less set aside the time to then do the integration and keep up with the things that could truly make their lives easier if they only had the time to investigate and check on that. So it sounds like the open platform that you're architecting is really designed to do those things plus, plus, plus.
That's the idea, right? I mean, one, it's to enable self-discovery. It hasn't been the norm in the past that banks make you aware of a bunch of stuff that isn't the bank solution that you might want to use, right? They really want you to use theirs. I think we need to let go a little bit of our fear there and really make it easy for businesses to both self-discover or choose something that they're already using rather than the bank dictating, hey, here's the one thing I integrate to. Well, what if I use this other thing? Like, can I not make that talk to my banking system too? So it's more of that, you know, App Store is probably not the best example, but it's the idea where you have the ability to pick the solutions you're already using and really easily connect them to what you do with banking, as well as a platform where the bank isn't so scared to make you aware of these other value-add solutions just because they don't come from the bank, right? And I think there's an educational component there as well, and there's also some building of trust, right, where the customer feels comfortable, but you're not always just trying to sell them something, right? You might actually care. You might actually be trying to help them build their business. I think it's important that, you know, the concepts of like third-party content and experts in the space. We just launched this new Spark IQ site, which is really just resources for small business. We don't sell anything on that site, right? It's really just a conversation where we're hoping we can pull together content that helps to educate and enable small businesses, and then, you know, what do you know? You're part of the conversation. Wow, you've got a little bit of credibility for helping me out here as a small business. Maybe a natural place for me to go look for solutions from you. And what do you know? When I use them, I can pick off the, you know, nav on the right there, one of my, you know, peripheral solutions that I use, whether it's accounting or CRM or inventory management, and I click a button and I enter my username and password, and it just works with that banking service that I got from you. So, you know, as a whole, it really works if you can begin to be a valuable resource to the small business and make their life a little easier when they pick some random smattering of solutions that is out there in the market and the stuff all talks to each other. Boy, does that make their life easier. And then they come back to you, right? Then they're like, wow, that was a very different experience than what I'm used to. You know, tell me more ways that you can help, you know, help me save time, help me grow my business. And not all of those ways, and I think this is the big leap of faith for the industry, involve us selling you something. Or involve you using only our stack of products. And I think that's where, you know, people often get a little bit caught up in the fear and uncertainty of what that might actually be like. Well, what if they don't choose my solution? And I think that's just where there needs to be a leap of faith as an industry to really kind of embrace the disruption that's happening and be a part of it rather than having it happen to us.
So Brian, last question. How hard do you have to work to convince small business that this platform is the place to be, since you really are, you're a bank. And, you know, banks have historically not necessarily been regarded as the most innovative enablers of, you know, of new solutions. So what do you have to do to actually convince the small business that you're their one-stop shop?
We have to earn it. I think that it's a very fair assessment to say that that innovation has not normally come from your bank. And it is hard work, right? And I think it takes organizational focus. I think it takes, you know, relooking at your technical talent, looking at your innovation programs and your more fundamental technology programs in a bank as well. I know, you know, you can get caught up in the shiny object of, you know, the concept of innovation, but you really have to look at the DNA internally, technically. Like, there's some hard kind of decisions and heavy lifting that needs to go on there in order to enable this. And then you need to earn it from the small business. You actually have to deliver on this vision. And it's the experience they actually have with you that they're going to tell their friend about. It's not the vision that you tell them about, right? And so I think that it is definitely hard work. And I think that it is something that we as an industry, certainly we as an institution, expect to go earn. Not just to be given to us because we are their bank.
Well, Brian, it's been great to get caught up with you on your vision, soon to be, well, it sounds like it really is a reality evolving, for serving the small business segment, which, as you point out, is a really important piece of our economy. So we look forward to continuing to learn about what you're doing as your capabilities evolve. Thank you very much for taking the time.